I'm ready to go. We can do the benediction. That's good right there. I ain't... Make sure you leave some stones. Come on, praise him. Just praise him. Just praise him real quick. Just praise him real quick.
Hey!
And y'all were worried. And y'all were worried. Oh. Feel like I'm about to get in the ring. Hallelujah. The protocol has already been set, amen. But I am honored. I am honored and I'm humbled under God to be here celebrating with y'all. I will tell you, thank you for the invitation, because I'd usually be at work until 6:30 in the morning. But I got a chance to tell my boss last night, peace, have a good weekend. He said, where you going? I said, about my father's business. Come see me. Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 11. It is our theme scripture. I am going to ask you to stand, please. Oh, Jesus, have mercy. Whew. Dear Jesus, have mercy. Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 11. And do this, knowing the time that is now, or that now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not revelry and drunkenness, not lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. Make no provision, not some, not a little. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Come on, go on, have a seat. Have a seat. It's not easy to walk up in here right now. I kind of just want to step down for a minute. Corden messed up the spot. 14 years ago, right after Pastor Armstrong was first installed here as the leader, not a leader, but the leader of this house, him and I were up in his office and we were having a conversation and we were just still getting to know each other. And in the conversation, we found out that we had some common ground besides breakdancing, although I'm sure he won't battle me on that now. I probably can't say that myself in another 2 years, but it's okay. But the other thing that we had in common was the fact that we love track and field. So in the conversation, he was telling me all the things that he had accomplished at Stanford and all the medals he had won back in high school and just doing great things. On the other hand, I was telling him what I was trying to do. So being the mentor that he is, he said, well, let me give you 3 tips. And I said, okay. He said, the first thing I want you to do when running is make sure that your arms are moving at a fast, steady pace. When your arms are moving at a fast, steady pace, the rest of your body, meaning your legs and your feet, are likely to reciprocate the same motion. They're likely to go along with the same pace. So if you can set the pace with your arms, everything else will follow. I said, oh, okay. I had never heard that one before, but I'll take it. And the second tip, he said, make sure that when you're running, your feet are kicking up as much as possible. And he said, the reason why your feet need to kick up as much as possible is so that you can kick up ground and cover some more. Kick up ground and cover some more. I said, okay, that's another interesting one. I haven't heard that one either. Then his last one, he said, and this is anybody that's ran track knows how this feels, is the thing that we usually have the most trouble with, and that's facing the turn of the track. He said, when you're running the straightaway and you hit that turn, he said, don't you feel all that wind on you? I'm like, yeah, came from nowhere, like bright sunny day, no wind, flags not moving, clouds not moving, and all of a sudden I hit the turn, and winds from north, south, east, and west want to come and hold me back. And he said, what I want you to do is at the end of the straightaway and right before the beginning of the turn, I want you go ahead and run, but turn your head and look at the other side of the track. Look at the end of the turn. Look at where you're going to. And I gave him a puzzled look, and he expanded a little bit, and he said, well, if you focus on what's directly around you, if you focus on what's right there in front of you, all you're going to feel is the wind pressing up against you. But what I need you to do is envision the other side, envision around the curve, envision the end, and when you're running, you'll get there a lot quicker than you thought. So in my mind, I said, this must be some LA stuff, because I ain't never heard. I'm from Trenton, and we run all day long just for the fun of it. I have never heard that. But in my lack of wisdom, I said, well, he did this thing in high school. He did this thing in college. He went to Stanford. He must know what he's talking about. He's been where I'm trying to go. He's done what I'm trying to do. So he must know a thing or two about what it is he's talking about. So I said, okay. And every day from that point on, I instilled those three tips in my daily practice. And I hate track practice. But I said, I got to see if this thing works. One of the most telltale signs of a great leader is that their words, their encouragement, their wisdom, their advice will follow you all the days of your life. And it's not just for that particular situation, but it'll echo through everything you go through. It's up to you to apply it. There's something about getting ready to go through something and just looking forward to the end. I'm coming. So, in considering that, this Vision 2020, if no one else has said it, I need you to know firsthand, this vision is not for these four walls. It's not for this particular physical building, or even the physical building down the block, or even the blocks and the landscape and the campus that will surround, I'm believing. But it's also for the very individuals that are sitting here tonight. It's for the very individuals that are a part of this church community. This vision is not just to build on to our buildings, but it's to build on to our spirit. And not only because we don't want to be selfish. God didn't call us to be that. But the vision isn't just for the building or for the individual people, but it's also for the community, the state, the country, the world around it. In fact, this vision actually epitomizes, if I said that right, somebody check me, the greatest commandment there is, which is to love one another. What we get and what we receive is not for us to keep. It's not for us to hoard. It's for us to use temporarily and then send it to somebody else. This vision 2020 is meant to edify us. It's meant to build us up. It's meant to take what's already here and some more stones and build upon that. But unfortunately, there are some of us who can't see Vision 2020. And I'm reckoning that that's because we're still stuck on 2010. And Reverend Coleman preached a couple years ago about why your rearview mirror is a lot smaller than your windshield. Sometimes we get so busy being focused in what's in our past that we don't get a chance to see the signs of what's coming in our future. And if you know like me, if you look at any one of the mirrors too long, you're going to wind up in an accident. There's something about looking forward. There's something about looking past what you're going through. There's something about landing a mark, landing a goal, having a vision to aim towards that gets you there a whole lot quicker. But see, we don't want to change. We don't want to add on. We don't like change. I know that's one of my tragic flaws. I don't like change. I like for things to stay exactly how they are, in a rudiment that they are, in a fashion that they are. And I like to proceed because now my boat is running smoothly. But how many of y'all know the boat ain't always going to roll the way you want it to? How many know it's going to get rocked and tossed to and fro every once in a while? Amen? The text encourages us that now is the time. But the whole picture of this is that now is the time to wake up. Now is the time to wake up. In this community, state, governing country, and world, there's a lot of decay going around who are supposed to be the mouthpieces of God. Everyone is killing each other, if not for their physical body, then in the capacity of their minds. And even in the essence of our spirits, are we suffering a death, if not by the hands of our frenemies, come on, then by the hands of ourselves. We have become the murderers of our mother's prayers, the manipulators of our martyr's motives, and the perverters of our father's presence. This dream has already become a nightmare, but now it's time to wake up. Now it's time to envision something different. We no longer have and never really had the luxury of time to sit back and bask in our own ignorance. There's no more time left for our shrewdness and backbiting, our lust and deception, our greed and selfishness. Now is the time for us to stop being the self-entitled served and start becoming, I might cuss at y'all for a minute, excuse me, and start becoming the humble, willing, obedient servants. I know I hurt your ears right there, I'm sorry. But there's no more time to hit that snooze button. Now is the time to wake up. Now is the time to put in the work. The problem is too many of us are fighting to be the head. But I want y'all to ask me what happens when all the blood rushes to the head. What happens when all the blood rushes to the head is that the body has a seizure and dies completely. No one lives in that situation. We all can't be the heads. There's a reason why there's a head. There's a reason why there are shoulders. There's a reason why there's a chest and there's arms. There's a reason why there's a hip bone to move your legs and your knees. There's a reason why there's kneecaps. And there's a reason why there's feet and shin bones. Because all these things have to work together in order for you to move. But see, so many of us are so busy trying to see, oh, I don't understand where the vision's coming from. Oh, I can't figure out where the vision. It's not your job to know where the vision's coming from. Your job is to run those arms. Your job is to kick those feet. Do what it is that's your purpose to do. And I promise you, even though the head is pointing that way and the body is here, if we are the body and pastor is the head, eventually, even though he's seeing it, what happens? We line up with what the vision is, and we keep going. It's not our job at all times to see what's going on. Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped up. I skipped the whole sermon. I'm sorry. Let me bring it down. I understand that things aren't easy. I understand that we have a hard time accepting change. But guess what? Change happens. I think anyone that's lived has learned, if anything else, that change happens. But all we have to do is submit ourselves unto God. See, for too long, we want immediate change. We want things now. We want products now. We want results now. We want the polished result now. But God says, if you wait, there's a different element to this thing, wait. Thank you, Minister Brooke, for teaching me this. There's a different element to this thing, wait. I know in a word it says W-A-I-T, but I want us to concentrate on W-E-I-G-H-T. And what I mean by that weight, as in the physical weight, a 10-pound, 20-pound weight, because sometimes our burdens aren't easy. Sometimes our burdens aren't light. Sometimes things get a little frustrating, and we think some things we probably shouldn't think. Maybe if I can be real, we might say some things we probably shouldn't say. And even if you catch me on a bad day, I'll pull out that Trenton pocket card, and I might do some things I'm not supposed to do. But God says that if you wait on me, if you wait, meaning that if you hold up and persevere just a little bit through those muddy waters, and you hold up and just look and focus. I know that you're going through foreclosure. I know that your kids ain't acting right. I know that your job ain't acting right. I know that everywhere you go, there's a storm. And it's not just a storm with some rain, but now you got some thunder. And I'm not talking about that ordinary thunder you get in December. I'm talking about that July thunder that shake the windows. And then with some thunder, you also get some lightning. And I understand that those things can be all around, but God says that if you wait, I'm not talking about just standing there and not doing anything. I'm saying that in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your trial, if you can pray and say, Lord, I need you. If you can hold on, if you can persevere just a little bit, if you can let the head focus on the end goal and just keep running with the rest of the body, I promise you that at the end of the turn, there's a different promise for you. At the end of the turn, there's a brighter light for you. But you've got to wait. You've got to hold it up. I know that sometimes things don't go your way. And I know that sometimes you just don't like the way people say things to you. But if you wait, and I know you're thinking, well, Brother Bell, how am I supposed to take care of this house when it's storming my house? Well, what I want you to do, I want you to go home and I want you to open up all the cupboards, open up all the closets, break open the basement door, get all the pots, get all the buckets, and every round thing you can find. And if you got rain happening in your kids' room, I want you to put two faith buckets down and say, I know that if I train up a child in a way they ought to go, they will not depart from it. If it's raining in your kitchen, I want you to believe that if you put two buckets down and taste and see that the Lord is good, oh, I need you to know that if it's raining in your bedroom, hold on, if it's raining in your bedroom, the Lord says in Psalms 23, I'll make you a bed that you can lie down in peaceful waters. In other words, there's peace even when you're sleeping. And if it's not raining in your bedroom, refer to Solomon, the Song of Solomon. That's a different story. The adults got that. But at the end of the day, stop, y'all. Stop, y'all. Come on. Come on. But at the end of the day, this is what I want you to do. I know things are tough, but what we're getting ready to go through, what we're getting ready to witness, what our head is seeing at the end, is going to teach us some things that's going to apply more to just building a building down the road. It's going to teach you how to save some finances in your home. It's going to teach you how to get out of that apartment and into that house. It's going to teach you how to make some steps and how to carry some stones, and not just carry them, but leave them there when it's necessary, because God just wants you to leave all your burdens with Him. So when it comes down to it and you're tired, you're weak, you're torn up, you're shattered, you have no idea what to do, the best thing to do is just to wait on Him, trust in Him, believe in Him, love in Him, and don't worry, because your suffering doesn't last always. The Lord says that your weeping may endure for the night, but when you let go of that selfishness, joy comes in the morning. Weeping endures for the night, but when you let go of that backbiting, joy comes in the morning. Weeping endures for the night, but when you let go of yourself and take more of Him, joy comes in the morning. Let me finish with this. I don't know where my time is. Am I over? Let me finish with this. So 4 weeks after Pastor gave me that advice, I said, okay, you know what? This has improved my time a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and do what he says. So coach puts me in a track meet. And I get in the block. And I get down. And I'm getting rested. And I happen to look over. And I see that I'm facing some of I'm facing four of the top boys in the county. And I look up and I say, coach, he said, don't worry about it. Just run. Don't worry about it. We just need you to run. So I said, okay. So I get down. And Marcus says, on your mark. I said, Lord. He said, get set. I said, okay. And right before he said, go, I said, it's your time, Lord. And he said, go. So I started running. And my arms were going. And I said, okay. I said, Lord, thank you for the perseverance. I look kind of funny right now, but I'm running. And then I thought, and I was going. And I passed the first person. I said, oh, he must have had a sandwich before he started today. And I said, oh, I'm kind of confident now. So then I started kicking up my feet the right way. So I'm running and I'm kicking my feet. And I passed the second and third person. I said, uh-oh, somebody done party too hard last night. Look at what's happening to me. And then, sure enough, right at the end of the straightaway, here comes the curve. Here comes the curve. Here comes the curve. And I said, uh-oh. And I look over. And I know where I'm at, and I'm running, and I'm running, and I'm running,
and I'm running. And before I know it, I pass the fourth one. And I said, oh Lord, I only got a little bit more to go. And sure enough, in the sidelines, I don't know what they're saying, but all I can hear is go, go, go. The same people that didn't want to see me run and knew I was going to lose are now here to witness me say go, go, go. So I ran. I was running from backbiting. I was running from lust. I was running from sin. And sure enough, at the end of the finish line, there I was by myself waiting for the others to catch up. And I saw my coach, and he had his hands up, and I said, yeah. I said,